All right, My Muscle Project, welcome back to another episode of In the Black. And today we have on another affiliate owner, so someone who shares the blood, sweat, and tears with us. We have on Jared Stein, who is the owner of three CrossFit gyms, CrossFit Willie B or Willie B CrossFit. I'm not sure which order that goes in, but we're excited today because we're going to address a topic which hasn't been really talked about on the In the Black for probably all 50 episodes at this point. So we're talking about retail today in gyms, and it's something that obviously doesn't really concern the, you know, the startup gym owner. It's not really a priority. There are bigger fish to catch, and eventually though you do reach a point where it's like, okay, what's next? How can we create a different revenue stream outside of memberships? And memberships will always be the biggest revenue stream, but if you can create something that is doing extremely well beyond the memberships, then obviously you can continue to grow your business and explore different avenues. And Jared is the number one guy according to Wattify when it comes to retail numbers, so we're curious as to how you do it. But Jared, before we get into the retail stuff, can you give us a little bit of context behind yourself and how you built your gyms and kind of where you're at today?
Yeah, absolutely. Firstly, thanks for having me on, guys. I was a banker. I worked in actually Hong Kong for a little bit and moved back to New York when the world started crumbling. I left the trading desk, went back to school. While I was in school, found CrossFit and fell in love, and you know, everyone's got their passion story. But I ended up meeting my business partner in a box. We were working out. He was helping me with some burpee stuff, and you know, yada yada yada. 6 months later, we're opening up a gym. We got very lucky. We were in an untapped piece of Brooklyn, New York, which doesn't really sound like that's a thing anymore, but at the time it was. And we quickly grew out of our first space, opened another space like 5-6 blocks down the road. We started gaining a lot of traction, and then again went up 10 blocks up the next road and opened a third. And we've been very fortunate with our success. We feel like we treat our members right. We do the fitness very much to the CrossFit ethos, and so it's been a nice little journey.
And what were the locations? What was the time between the locations?
Yeah, so we opened our first one in July of 2015, our second one in December of 15, and then our third one in January of 16. January of 16. November of 16. Sorry.
Okay.
Right. So it was, the first one was really quick. It was like 3 months. We were like, okay, we're going to do another one. And then it, you know, another 7-8 months down the road, we saw the opportunity, started seeking out some space. So it took us about 10 months after we opened the second one to open the third.
And did you open when you were full, or did you open just like, I'm going to keep growing the thing and we'll fill them all up when we get there?
So for us, we use the utilization rate. So when we realized that our classes at our first location were, you know, 75 to 80% full, we started, first thing we did was add more classes. When we started seeing that those classes were filling up, then we were like, okay, we probably need some more space, and had an opportunity down the street and thought the rent was too good not to attack it.
And when you opened the gyms, was there a lot of planning as to like, okay, we want to make sure these gyms are the same, you know, the same feel, the same size? Or did you just kind of just go, okay, we want location two, we want location three? Or was it a bit of a plan as to how you want the layout to look at each gym?
That's a great question. Unfortunately, I'd have wanted it that way if it was a blue sky scenario, but we all know, like, as soon as 3-2-1 go, it's the game plan goes out the window. We saw the space, and for the second one, it looked nothing like the first. So we made some adjustments. What was important to us that our brand and our ethos, and our, you know, coaching kind of, was all the same at all three spots. So all three of our coaches, or all of our coaches go to all three of our locations. They are trained the same way in terms of customer service. The workout is the same across the board for all three locations, but to be fair, all three locations look like very, very different facilities.
Okay. And does that, do you find that affects the programming and sort of the feel of the gyms? People come in, they go, we've got all this extra space, why don't we do this? And maybe the smaller gyms like, hey, we can't do this, there's not enough space, that sort of thing. The coaches maybe complain about it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we get our, you know, I call it handcuffed by the fact that our first locations are smallest by, you know, five times almost.
Oh, wow.
So we don't have assault bikes or GHDs. We're talking about bigger pieces of equipment that take up a lot of space. So those just aren't in the program. We have them at the other facilities. We use them for auxiliary work. I call it extra credit, you know, 50 cals for time, go knock yourself out. Mm. You know, that kind of stuff. It handcuffs the programming a little bit, but you know, a good coach is going to make effective workouts and an effective program in whatever space and with whatever equipment you have available.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. So I think when, like just moving into this conversation about retail, I think the big piece that we've, you know, struggled with personally in the past is that coming back to kind of what we're just discussing is that because we have three locations as well, because the locations are quite different in how they look. You know, retail is generally, you think about it, it's like you walk in and it's like there's this beautiful shop, right? And it makes you want to stay in the shop and shop around and have a look and, you know, flick through the shirt sizes and see if they got your size. But it doesn't really work for us like that. Just kind of how the flows of the gym are, same sort of thing. We just didn't really plan it that much in advance. So how have you firstly set up retail at your gyms from like a physical standpoint?
Yeah. From a physical standpoint, it's the first thing you see when you walk in the door. So you walk in, to your right is the retail, to the left is the front desk. And that is the same at all of our locations. Mm. You can't walk in the door without seeing, you know, the protein bar, the shakes, the t-shirts, mm. you know, so it does kind of hit you in the face. It's always there. And it's next to the stuff that you need often. So, you know, waters or O2 drinks or, you know, stuff we keep in the fridge.
Mm.
So it's a nice, subtle reminder that it's there all the time.
Hmm. Okay. And then how did you choose over time? What was the evolution of kind of how you place things in the store or how you arranged it and kind of what you decided to stock?
Yeah. So that's a great question. So I got very fortunate. Our number two, our assistant head coach, came from a retail background. He was a GM over at Ralph Lauren, one of their big department stores, and he kind of already had an eye for it. And so when he came in, he was like, let's put the shirts here. Let's put the protein here. This is how it'll look good. And just trust me. And I was like, you know what? I know very little about this. You know a lot about this. I'm going to let you make the call. And he wasn't wrong. So we're going to play that hot hand until it fails, essentially.
Mm. And what was the, you know, when it comes to shirts, obviously you're going to stock your own stuff, but how did you make the choice as to put other stuff in besides shirts? That's what most people sell in the beginning, right? They're selling their shirts. I think most CrossFit gyms have their own shirts, but beyond that, what did you decide to put in and why?
So when we affiliated, the big player in the protein space was Progenics. And for us, it was a logical move, right? They had a really good wholesale program. They were the popular guys, you know, in the locker room. You know, and for us, we didn't really know where else to go to source it. Where we made that mistake was that we didn't have an internal champion either. So, you know, no one was like, I love Progenics and I'm going to buy Progenics and all the coaches are drinking Progenics. Like, that didn't happen. Mm. All the coaches were drinking all their own different stuff, myself included. Their stuff tasted fine. This isn't a slight on Progenics. It wasn't working for us. So we had to make a change. One of our coaches came to us and said, you know, you really need to try this first form stuff. And I had never heard of it. They had wacky flavors like loop de fruit and root beer float and cookies and cream and mint chocolate chip. And I was like, no, chocolate, vanilla, that's where it's at. It's where we're going to be. And man, was I wrong. And when we got on a call with the first form guys and they said, look, we're going to set the price. So there's no price competitiveness between our website and you. We're going to give you the wholesale price, and that's just what it is, no matter what your order is. Why don't we start a pilot program? I was like, cool, okay, I'll give it a try. We started drinking it. First of all, I love it. We had already had an internal champion and a coach that was like repping their stuff really hard. And then all of a sudden, all the coaches are drinking it. Mm. All the athletes are drinking it because this one internal champion is talking it up so much. It was so hard to ignore. As soon as that happened, we turned the corner in protein sales. And when you turn the corner in protein sales, it kind of opens the door to everything else. So we sell this stuff called Ignition, which is like a glucose supplement that you put in your protein shake right after the workout. They're multivitamin. They have a a powdered green supplement, and you know, sky's the limit in terms of supplements, right? So what we started to do was, after our internal champion really got the ball rolling, and we started seeing like recurring protein sales, like subscription protein sales, we started, you know, having them purchase, like kind of pre-order their stack, right? Their vitamins and all that other stuff, their creatines and what have you, with us customizing the stack for them. So they just purchase it through us, and that's when like the game started to change for us. So, you know, as a percent of revenue, our supplement sales are, you know, obviously small because, you know, your membership is the big one,
of course.
But in terms of our retail, it's 10 times what we thought it was, whoever could be. And so right now we have about 500 members, and I would say half of them have monthly subscriptions to protein. Mm-hmm. So that's just, you know, we're just a facilitator at this point. Mm-hmm. And they could very easily buy it off the website at the same price, but it gets delivered right to the gym for them. It's in their hand. We just make it easy, you know, and we, you know, take the burden of shipping. So it's been a whirlwind with working with the First Form guys, because they've just been so great. You know, they've given us all the resources and the tools we need, but I can't stress this enough, having that internal champion in the gym that's talking up the brand before it's even in there was a game changer.
Mm.
And in terms of the logistics, which I think is what holds back most CrossFit box owners, two questions. Do you have like a receptionist that deals with all of this? And two, do you reward your staff in any way for the sales? So like, are your coaches like sales reps at all for the actual supplements?
So yes and no. So in the mornings, we do not have a front desk staff. So the coaches know how to use our point of sale system, which is the first piece of training they get after their level one, is like how to ring people up properly through Wattify. In the afternoon, though, we do have people at the desk as a receptionist, and they're kind of trained to handle it in terms of checking people out, in terms of, you know, purchasing and ordering. That stuff me and my business partner handle. And as for the coaches, no, they're not reps. I mean, we have our one guy who's, you know, Mr. First Form, but everyone else is, you know, just a coach who drinks it. So just by them being around with it in their shaker cup and filling in the scoop, it's pretty powerful marketing.
Mm. How do you get for clients that aren't drinking it to go to a subscription? Well, like, what's the first introduction? Is it like something that you sit down with them with on the first day and be like, hey, you know, welcome to the gym, just so you know, like, there's protein over here, everyone drinks it, that sort of thing? Or is it more of an organic process where they eventually reach out to you and want protein?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both, and it depends on the customer. Okay. So we never kind of push it as the first sale. The first sale is obviously the membership, and yep. Then they're like, look, you know, with the paleo diet and CrossFit, you know, 3 to 5 times a week, your body's going to do a lot of changing. A week later, they come to us, they're like, hey, we've been, you know, I've been eating right, and I'm coming 5 days a week, and I'm really sore. And I said, well, you're not recovering enough. Are you asleep? Are you drinking enough water? Are you supplementing your protein intake? And there's, you know, yes, yes, no. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, if you're interested, this is the kind of stuff we have. This is what protein, you know, does for you. This is how it works. You know, I take a shake after, you know, my workout. And if it's something that you think is going to help you in your fitness and wellness journey, let's have another conversation. So I don't want to sell them on the kind of the first, you know, phase. They usually email me a day or two later when, you know, the juice is starting to flow. And then from there, they try it. And we give them a risk-free. You know, if they don't like the flavor, I'll buy it right back from them because I know I'm going to like it. So I'll drink it. So it's really not much of an issue for us on that end. But they don't not like it. So, you know, they pick a flavor, like a safe flavor, like a chocolate or vanilla, or if they want to get crazy, a root beer, or if they have a Cinnamon Toast Crunch flavor, that is unbelievable.
Yeah.
So they try it, they love it, they have it, you know, it's like a treat for them at the end of a really hard workout. And then they, you know, after I see them buying it twice, I say, look, we'll shave 10% off of this if you just put this on to your monthly charge, and it goes in perpetuity, works the same as your membership. Choice is yours, and it'll be delivered the first of every month if that's what you want.
Mm. Okay.
50% of our people do that. It's just one less thing for them to worry about.
Awesome.
Right. It's like, that's the worst, right? You get home after a workout and your protein's empty.
Yeah.
Like, that's a disaster.
Oh, bro.
Yeah.
Nah. Everyone knows that.
No, that's not happening. That's not
slamming doors and shit, screaming.
So from there, that point when they're like, cool, I'm on the subscription, done. This is obviously a point that changes, I believe, company to company. How does First Form make it easy for you guys as a gym to have people on a subscription? Do they deliver it with name tags? Do you have to name them? Is there like, how does it go from subscription, Wattify, to First Form delivering it to the correct flavor, to the correct person?
Yeah, so our GM handles all the purchasing and he's got to sort it. So we have a list of everyone who's got specifically what their flavor is, what their stack is, and we sort it and tag it once we get it in the shop, and we know which one of the three locations they want to pick it up at. Hmm. So we do all the legwork, but you know, it's worth it, right? We're in the making people better business. So for us, that's really a small inconvenience that I wouldn't even say is an inconvenience, right? For us, this is a way to just like better know, you know, our clients.
Hmm. Yeah, awesome. And I just want to bring it back to apparel before we wrap it up here. But a lot of gyms are obviously doing apparel, and some of them, you know, sit on a lot of dead stock for a long time, I think, and maybe it puts them off potentially doing more apparel in the future. What are some things that you do with gym shirts and stuff that you feel like, you know, is like kind of good practice?
Yeah. So this is a conversation I have with my business partner every season, really, is that when it's sitting on the shelf, it's cash. It's cash on the shelf, and I'd rather have cash in my pocket. Mm. So what we do is we don't change styles. We have one T-shirt and two colors, and then men's and ladies, and then we have a sweatshirt, and we try to keep it quite simple. You know, we've done iterations of like colors and different designs and specialty T-shirts for special events, and the reality is, we maybe break even on that after we, you know, give them to the staff. And it's really not worth the time or the trouble. And the second reality is that your current membership doesn't buy T-shirts, right? You get T-shirt sales from people who aren't members of your gym, and they wear it as like a badge of honor that they went to another box. And, you know, that's what I do. When I travel, I buy a T-shirt, right? I've been here. Mm. So we do, and what I would tell anyone trying to open a gym is, less is more, right? You have one really good T-shirt, keep it on the shelf, keep the sizes you need to keep in stock, and just reorder them when you need to. Don't go nuts. Don't overthink it. You don't need to, you know, SoulCycle is a big chain in the United States that like makes their money on merchandise, right? And they have a new sale every season. You don't need to be them, right? We're not in the fashion business. We're in the CrossFit business. One shirt, real simple, you know, make your margin so you make your money back and you know, just be done with that. One less thing to worry about.
Nice. Yeah, that's really good advice. I was going to ask one more question before we wrap it up, but did you want to jump in, Raph?
Is there anything besides apparel and protein that you do sell that has done surprisingly well or surprisingly poorly?
So the shaker cups that we sold, surprisingly well. I thought that was a silly thing to sell, but I realized if you're a first-time person trying fitness and trying protein, you don't have a shaker bottle. Those go really well, except there's no margin in that for us. That's kind of like a throw in with the protein. And we do okay, like seasonally on like protein bars or food bars, you know, quick little snacks, like non-perishables. Mm. You know, for some reason in the fall, they fly off the shelves. In the spring, the summer, we can't sell one. So, you know, for me, it's more of a, do I have the product mix wrong or do protein bars not sell? Mm. You know, so we're still in the middle of sorting that out, but I think we have the right product mix now that, it was actually a new product from First Form. We were doing RX bar for a long time. We've switched over. First Form really does a good job of making the good stuff taste like candy. Mm. And, you know, we're finding that people enjoy that treat pre-workout. So, that stuff's starting to move a little bit, but, on the really bad stuff, we've tried, grips, like, we've done like wad and duns. We've tried to sell gymnastics scripts, Didn't move at all. Sold none of them.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Really disappointed in the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. With anything with retail, what, just as a kind of a more general number, what would you tell other gym owners, you know, if you're going to go down this retail path, at a bare minimum, if you're going to be selling something constantly, what is a minimum margin that you should have on that item?
Yeah, 40%. Because the reality is, if it's protein, you're going to get high on your own supply, right? You're going to be taking a lot of that protein on your own. So you have to kind of build in that slippage. So 40% at a minimum, that's what makes the headache worth it. And then if you have a really good retail partner, like First Form, they set the margin for you. It's one less thing you have to think about in the pricing and consumer elasticity and inelasticity. So it's like, that's what the price is. That's what I'm buying it at. Easy, right? With t-shirts, there's a little more wiggle room. But I would say minimum, 40%. Just because I know you're gonna start eating your stuff.
Yeah. Definitely.
That is the truth.
That is the absolute truth. Yeah. Absolute truth. All right, fantastic. Well, Jared, we appreciate you coming on and sharing all this stuff. So if anyone is in Brooklyn or in the area, where's the best place they can, or where are the locations that they can find you?
Yeah, so we have two locations in Williamsburg in Brooklyn and one in Greenpoint, Brooklyn.
Okay, awesome.
And is there anything else you have going on? I thought you might, do you have a coffee or something like that?
Yeah, I own a coffee company called Eleva, E-L-E-V-A.
Nice.
So we're opening up some shops in New York and across the United States shortly. Yeah. But you can get a subscription box to the beans, which are unbelievable. So if you guys are coffee fans, let me know. I'll send you some down.
Yeah, nice. Absolutely.
Fuck yeah, we are.
Fantastic. All right. Awesome. All right, Jared, thank you so much for sharing that stuff. And I'm sure we'll speak to you again very shortly.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.